Hey, Crypto Pals, this is your Silo Sensei, Gen Con, and welcome to the whirlwind of whimsy that is BPX Break Room, brought to you by the cool cats at Radish Digital. We're here to make you laugh, learn, and maybe snort your coffee. Our mission is to help peel back the layers of BPX from the inner workings to the downright delightful. We're cracking open the vaults of Barefoot Republic, Home Team Heroes, Miners, Wonders, and the oh-so-mischievous Raz. Each month, we dive deep into one silo, and every week, we're stirring up the pot with interviews, jokes, and the occasional conspiracy theory. X Spaces is our turf, and you're all on the guest list. BPX Break Room isn't just for the crypto connoisseurs. It's where the curious minds mingle. Whether you're a seasoned BPX guru or just testing the crypto waters, this silo soiree is for you. Bring your questions, bring your pals, and let's turn this BPX Break Room into a block party.
Hey, everybody, this is Discord user Slappy White with Radish Digital. That's digital with a J. Coming to you live in BPX Break Room, and we have our host, Jen Con, and our guest, Eric S., in here. So I'm going to turn it over to Jen post-haste. Jen, take it away.
Hello! Thank you. Welcome to the BPX Break Room, where the home team heroes take center stage. Let the games begin. Hello, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing fantabulous. It's a Wednesday.
It's a little rainy here in Jersey, but it's good.
It is. It is. But it's better than yesterday and better than Monday. So I'll take it.
That's true. You guys, what an intro. You guys give me way too much credit. I don't get that much say in all of it. I mean, geez, you're making it like I've built everything. No, I just throw some ideas in there. But again, I'll continue to reinforce this. It is very much a team effort. All these guys have a say, throw in ideas. We just refine them together and then try to put the best product out that we can for you guys.
Perfect. We know and love the entire team. So we know you'll take back our kudos to them. So I normally start off with my icebreaker. So my icebreaker to you is, if you could have any new skill instantly, what would you choose?
To be able to read Frenchie's mind for the next 6 months, so I know what's that would be it.
That's a good one. I did not even think about that. Damn. I said speak. I so desperately want to be fluent in some other language.
Yeah, that would be the normal answer, right?
Yeah. But not in BP land.
Nope.
Okay, so let's dive right into it. So we're going to start off with some basic HTH questions and how you guys kind of revamped the format and the calendar and everything that's going on from a high level. And then we'll keep getting a little deeper and deeper. So okay. Can you tell us a little bit about how the decision came to be to have this release calendar with three drops over 3 months for a specific sport, and what advantages do you guys hope to see this structure bring to the entire HTH experience?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm happy to unpack that one. So really, it all started with, I try to keep community benefits aligned with BlockPack's benefits when I'm trying to have a voice in how we're making these adjustments. HTH as a product itself, I think, is fantastic. It was great last year. The rewards are really good for it, for those BPX, those BlockPack's rewards miles. So I think the product itself was very, very good as it is. And what we tried to do was, how can we make things more engaging throughout the year? And when I look at where we were in terms of like just playing the old Raz, a lot of that factored into people. There was a lot of dead time in between playing. And we see the buzz around the games and around our products when the drops happen. Or, like in this case, coming down to the end right before the snapshot takes place for your rewards miles, there's a lot of buzz, there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of engagement. So breaking it up over the 3 months for a single sport allowed us to give more engagement to our community as part one. And part two, one of the things I really pushed back on wanting it to be broken up over 3 months was, you know, we've had people say, hey, I wish I could plan better for how I was going to spend my money throughout the year. Sometimes that elite RAS would pop up and you'd spend a large sum of money, whether that's $500, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 in one shot. And then you're like, well, I don't know the next time I'm going to play another RAS. Well, in our case with HTH, now we can say, well, a lot of our community members who are either playing on a budget with what their expendable money is, well, if I said, hey, instead of you having to spend $1,000 at once for a single HTH drop, well, now maybe you can play a little bigger. And how does that look? What does that look like for you? Well, maybe you can spend $500 each drop instead of $1,000 at once because you've had some more time to get paid or you've had some more time to sell other items. And now you can play a little bigger and it allows you to obviously participate at a better level, earn more rewards, earn more points, build bigger sets, and then eventually, you know, maybe you have a better chance of hitting more color pops, which allow you to get more rewards down the road. So, yes, obviously that helps BlockTex as well, right? We're spreading out a revenue stream over the course of a whole year instead of like, okay, we're going to get hit all at once. And it just works for both the community and for BlockTex in that aspect.
No, I for one think it's fantastic, and I have a feeling that I am not alone in the fact that having a calendar as to what we can plan for and what's coming up and be able to make decisions as to what we want to participate in and how much we want to participate in is greatly appreciated and very helpful. Yeah. So if we delve into the sets, so let's take the baseball is going to be the first drop, April, May, and June. And there are, I believe, correct me, right, 45 to 50 heroes.
Yep.
In the set. And then can you explain or expound upon how those are going to be split up between the three drops and a little bit about how those were selected and created?
Yeah, so I'm not going to give away who's in each drop because that's part of the fun. You will know who all of the eligible heroes are that will be in the set at drop one. You'll know like the same way they did basketball on all the different players that are available. But you may not know who is in each drop until we start actually breaking, right? Ripping those products and seeing who's in there. I think we'll work to put out the first list of the drop one, but you won't know who specifically is in drop two and drop three. A little bit of a mystery there adds a little bit of that fun and excitement to it. But the hero list itself, we tried to make sure we balanced two things. One, fantasy production. So obviously our color pop value is driven through their ability to play the actual game and the sport. So we tried to make sure we took some heavy hitters and some people who maybe didn't perform as well last year. And then we have a lot of new heroes in the set, obviously. So we had to take some fantasy projections, which Cooper and Matthew do a lot of the fantasy projection aspect, looking over the sports. And then they come up with that list of the top, you know, 75 people that can perform. And then we broke them out into three sets and said, okay, we want to make sure there's a similar projection. Now, obviously there's breakout players, there's people who get injured, you know, we can't forecast those things. So we just do our best to try to make it a balanced lineup. And even with that, you know, we're it's a lot of fun to do it. And we tried to make sure there's a certain amount of new with a certain amount of old characters from last year. And just, you know, we go through that process and just break it out in an Excel sheet and get our three lineups set.
Okay. And along with the three lineups and how you're splitting it, is it completely random or are you guys trying to segment it by either, you know, positions, cities, teams and spread that out? Or is it just a blind random?
It's all we went very much based on fantasy projections. So based on what we think your color pop performance would be is how we kind of did it. So like, let's say the top five are high performers in each drop. So like, let's say we took our top 15 fantasy projections and we put five of them in drop one, drop two, and drop three. And then we took our next, you know, middle 15 fantasy projections and put them in drop one, drop two, and drop three. And we just kind of balanced out what we think their scoring fantasy projections would look like for each drop. So it's very evenly powered in that sense.
Okay. And then talking about the, I saw something where the, I'm drawing a blank now, the percentages or the hit ratios based on, because we're breaking this up into three different groups, that those ratios are still going to stay the same, which means color pops were, what were they, 1 in 100
before. So this is where it actually improves in the community's favor. And I think, you know, we did a Survey Monkey yesterday of projected what we think people will participate at a geek level. And I expect once they really hear this, that they might play a little bit heavier, because your odds are all going to be what they were last year or better. So 1 in 1,650 pack odds for a black will be or better. Your color pops will be 1 in 100 or better. So this allows us flexibility when building these collection sizes that, let's say we sell out at our target set for, you know, 15 euros and drop one. Well, if we sell out, that may not equal 1,650. That may be, your pack odds may be 1 in 1,250. And maybe in drop two, we say, hey, we know we've got Wonders collect and play coming, so we don't want to make you guys feel the pressure on two different fronts. So maybe we do 10 heroes in drop two to make it a little bit easier on everybody in terms of the total collection size. And then in drop three, we come back a little bit bigger, right? So we have that flexibility as we're committing to a range of heroes and then breaking them up over the three drops.
Ah, okay. So it's not set in stone of how many in that it's equally distributed between three drops. They can vary depending on what else is going on or how much is sold or what you guys are looking to do at that time.
And it may never change again, right? It may be consistent going forward, but we just know, obviously, our community is very much hybrids with the Wonders of the First community, right? And they all want to be able to buy the collect and play. So with those, all those conscious decisions are made to help you guys have flexibility in where you're spending your money. Now, somebody may not care, right? They may not care about Wonders of the First at all on that collect and play. They may only care about the serialized boxes that they have, right? So they may come in and say, I just want to play HDH because the reward miles are great. I love fantasy projections. I love fantasy sports. And they may just stay heavy in HDH. So we don't want to completely shift one way or the other too much. We want to make sure you guys have accessibility to both.
Okay. No, that sounds great. A little new info there.
Yep.
So let's go on to one of the other bigger announcements, was the cover athlete announcement of Bo Jackson. And I think adding that cover athlete really adds some excitement and dimension and a lot of different directions and things you guys can do within the whole HTH experience. So can you, from your guys' perspective, share what it really means from your perspective to have a cover athlete, and how you guys are planning to kind of weave that into the fabric of HTH?
Yeah. Oh, man. This one for me gives me goosebumps, because we very much stood on, we are making our own heroes. These are our own product. We could license them ourselves if we wanted to, that these are fans of their, you know, who they're inspired by. And for me, the ability to now bring in an officially licensed player, I mean, my God, that the validity that it adds to our product is like astronomical. You couldn't think of a better way to tie in somebody like Bo Jackson into our product. He now has the ability to play in both sports, right? In baseball and in football. The face of your product, and having the ability to work with an agent. Like, not only does this do great things for us in terms of having Bo, but it gives us an agent of somebody who we have an association with and a relationship with. And the hope there is, right, we do it the right way, we execute correctly, they love it, and they start to talk. Agents start to talk, other players start to talk. And, you know, it kind of gives us a foot in the door in trying to continue to expand on bringing in those officially licensed players over the long term.
That's awesome. So now the task for everyone is to find out who Bo Jackson's agent is and who else he potentially represents. And then maybe we can...
You guys in your rabbit holes.
No, I think that was a huge announcement. I think you got a lot of good vibes and everyone talking and everyone really excited.
Well, it's two front for too, that to happen. Right? I mean, we have our digital product, and then you guys have heard it multiple times. We intend to print physical products of all different types of our franchises, right? That is something we've already said on more than one occasion. Sometimes you got to read between the lines and pick it up. But that's pretty clear now that we're going to be printing physical products. Well, if he's officially licensed for Home Team Heroes, what do you think that does for a physical print down the line?
Yep.
Just talk, let the wheels turn.
Very intriguing. And we'll have a little segment on the actual physical cards a little bit later. Okay. So we can talk about that. Get into some of the more maintenance side of things. So for the purchase method for these next drops coming up. I know initially the statement was credit card only. And then there was some discussion and there was a possibility that maybe might be able to do some Web3 integration with the ETH purchases. Do you know where we exactly stand on that for right now?
Yep. Had a conversation yesterday with the engineer team. We will be able to take ETH purchases for Geek pre-sale only. So the public sale will only be credit card. So if you intend to purchase with ETH, Ethereum, then you're going to want to make sure you have all of your hero, like your legend geeks in a row or your hero geeks in a row. So that way you can make sure you purchase everything you want in that geek presale. Once geek presale ends, you will not be able to use Ethereum anymore.
Ah, okay. All right. So important information, get those presale orders in.
Yep.
If you want to use ETH. Okay. We did have a question pop up. How was the number of heroes decided? So how did you guys whittle it down? Did you know that you wanted to have a certain number and then found those to fit it? Or did you look at who you had and then decide that was kind of the cutoff?
So one of the key factors was we wanted to make sure at least every team was represented. So that in MLB's, at least 32, I think it's 32 teams in MLB. And then obviously we don't want to leave out stars, right? So we didn't want to handcuff ourselves to saying, oh, well, we already have two of these people in, so we can't put a third. So if there are big time players and big time fantasy projections, obviously people get traded. People are free agents and re-sign on other teams. Like some players moved from last year to this year. We didn't want to take them out of the set just because of that. Now, if somebody performs absolutely terrible or they retire, there could be people who also get removed from the set, right? So there's that side of it as well. And we land, and the number is very much a range. We were saying 42 to 50 or 45 to 50. We just wanted to make sure at the whole that we represented that truly that one team, every team gets one hero, and then who's like really good fantasy production outside of that.
Okay, so there we go. So now we know there's at least one per team.
There is one per team.
Okay, so
hey, Jen.
Yes.
Hey, Jen. Yep. Eric, if you want to check your DMs, either your text or Discord, can you just read it off to us? You can have the pleasure of representing BlockPax as our sponsor, giving away that box.
Ooh.
And we will be interrupting a couple more times, Jen. I'll send it to you, Eric, again. So just keep a lookout for that, because I'll let you announce it each time. We've got a couple more to give away after this one, Eric.
Ooh, nice. Free giveaways. Woohoo. You're on mute if you don't know it, Eric.
I chased him away, Jen.
I know. You
He's requesting, just to let you know, Jen, a few people in the audience, they did mention that they were having the audio issue.
He kicked me off
stage. Are you back, Eric?
Yeah, I'm back.
I didn't kick you off stage. Elon did it.
I know. but I'm back.
Okay. Do you want to do the announcement? What do you have to announce? Giveaway? Did you not hear Slappy?
I did not hear Slappy.
Oh, okay. He sent you a DM or text or something that he was giving you the honor of announcing.
The honor of announcing. Okay. Wasn't a text. Let's see. Was it a Discord DM?
It was both texted to you and DM'd. You should have it in actually both places right now. Maybe our communication's not going through. All right. Well, I'll tell you
okay,
what.
Okay, I got it.
We'll get you the next one.
I got it.
How are you doing? We got it. Okay. All right. Go.
All right. Jen, I was told to interrupt you, but I will politely, now that I already know that I'm already on stage and I can do it. So, Nick W., if you are in the spaces, please raise your hand. We'll let you know that you are the random winner of the NBA Week 7, the fantasy random that Radish Digital was doing. Nick W., you out there?
Nice. Congrats. Does he have to be present, Sloppy?
They do have to be present. That's new thing is the second box. What we're trying to do, Jen, is just because not everybody knows NBA that well. So what we're trying to encourage people to do is, hey, there's still a chance for you to win, even if you're not going to compete with Nick W. and who's a really good fantasy player and Heffrey and Flying Ninja and those others. And by the way, Chow just responded. He is in here. So I will go ahead and we'll keep it going kind of smooth. We won't interrupt you as much the next time. But Eric, I'll send you the next one just in a few minutes and you can announce it again. We could just announce it. People raise their hand, but you guys can keep going with the conversation as long as they're in here. We don't need to redraw. All right. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Perfect. Congrats and good luck. Okay. So on to the point systems for 2024. So we're okay. It's unchanged for the most part. We're keeping the same format for 2024. And then there was a little asterisk there saying that additionally, there was going to be a 20% earning rate for the 2023 collection holders.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. And do you want to
I'll unpack that one. So the way that's going to work is Color Pops are done. Color Pops get their associated drip for the season tied to them, and they are finished in terms of their reward miles since they will take a full year to mature, right, over time. For the base set, we are saying your base set points will get 20% of their value in next year's pool. So, for example, if you had a we'll call it a black rainbow that's 500,000 points, right? It's going to get you 100,000 points in next year's pool.
Okay, nice.
So 80% reduction.
Okay. So Color Pops out, but the remaining point, and then I'm assuming that has to be obviously that's a hold through a whatever point that is in the future where those season points are going to get calculated, right? So you have to hold it.
Yeah. So whenever we're prepared for snapshot for 2024, the points that you hold from 2023 will obviously at that moment, like you could not own anything right now and go like buy stuff from 2023 and it'll still get you a 20%, I guess it's not 20% reduction, but it's 80% reduction in the points. So that's the easiest way to explain that. And then you'll still get that towards your pool next year. Right. So you can pick them up throughout the year. You can trade back and forth for them still, make more sets and rainbows, wherever that looks like. But next year, that will get it'll be part of the same snapshot. So 2024 pool will be one snapshot. You'll get your full allocation for your 2024 stuff, and then you'll get a 20% of it for your 2023 stuff.
Okay, cool. That's actually a very interesting idea. And the first thing that comes to my mind is that being decided because it actually brings value or retains some sort of value to older or last season's HTH so they don't kind of go away like the IMs used to. So is that
right?
Is that recently you guys kind of figured that out and wanted to make that change, or was this always something?
No, I mean, from the moment I started working for the company, Jeff had already said that was part of his plan, was to help support the collection for likely just a year, just to kind of give it a little love. And then after that, they would live on purely for collectability, because you have to think from a company standpoint, our anticipated growth. And as we continue to I guess, even mature as a company, right? The items that we bring to the market, if people are vibing with them and loving them, eventually they're going to look around and try to find what some of the first things we did were. And yes, IMs were the first thing, but everybody knows, I think by now, when IMs were made, the intention of them was obviously to be used as entries, right? Like that's the way they were designed intentionally. These HTH product, they are a digital trading card set. All of the effort, the artists, the value, that's all in creating the set itself. I know we use the reward miles as well as part of our ecosystem, but at the end of the day, like, those items are collectible in themselves, and they are still gonna then be symbiotic with what we do on a physical level, right? Like, you're gonna see a physical aspect of your digital product come to life over time. So it's not just the reward miles that come out of it. And now, if people believe it's only the reward miles, I'm sure there are plenty of people in the ecosystem who will pick up your collectibles post rewards, right? Like, after the rewards are done, there are people, I've heard people tell me about it, that they intend to finish their rainbows then, you know, and pick up those collector items then, even after those points are gone.
Okay. I'm rationalizing in my head and thinking, because I'm like, if people come in and they actually find this project three seasons down the road, the first season that we had, or even the older ones, right? I kind of envision it as, you know, like physical trading cards. You know, the older the card is, being it's either the first release or the second release, or there is, you know, value to mm-hmm. that. Especially if you have these, you know, similar to like rookie and hero and that kind of label and everything, you know, you're going to have players that traverse seasons, I'm assuming. And so you would want their rookie card, their first card or first introduction into the set. That would be something, you know, that people would search for. So
100%. I mean, when you think of, in general, sports card collecting, which a lot of us came from, rookie cards, Bowman first cards, anything first related usually carries that collectible value even higher than, you know, year two. And there are year two and year three products where those players still chase a better value based on their ability and their level of play. But I think for us, we've done a really good job of focusing level of play in the ColourPop rewards, and the, whether it be rookie cards or like the Origin first edition stamps, like those things all provide value. And then, you know, even if it's a person who's not a rookie coming into this year, but they weren't in our set last year, let's say we missed them just based on the set size. Well, now we're going to be able to put that hero debut on their cards. So hero debut will be the representation of, this is their first time they're in our set. And 10 years from now, when you go, oh, when was the first time so-and-so player was in an HGH product? Do you remember when? Oh, I don't know. Let me go look. And then now you have a hero debut representation of that on all six weapon variations.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's Jen, yep. Are you interrupting me again?
I'm gonna do it again. The next winner of the HTH football box for week 22 is JRT. You have 1 minute to request to speak. You don't have to come on stage, but you do need to request to speak so that Slappy can at least see it for you.
Okay, 1 minute starts now. Tick tock.
Yep.
All right. So
what else?
Moving on. So hopefully this is a quick question. So the whole thing with club levels, is that still a thing going forward?
I am going to say it now. You can put a pitchfork in BPX club levels. It was originally designed as an extra reward mechanism. It didn't really function the way we wanted to in terms of helping people hold on to their reward miles to be used for different things. A lot of people, I feel like, traded with each other behind the scenes to make their club levels matter, and then they would instantly get rid of it all again, right? So it just didn't function the way the concept was put into play. So, I mean, when you think about, obviously, our new game coming out, that has a much better thought process to that. Like, that has a much better mechanic, I should say, not thought process. The thought process was really good on BPX club levels. It just didn't play out the way we hoped. So, obviously, the Pick Six game will have more of that mechanic functioning.
Okay, cool. So, club levels, dead.
Dead.
Doornail dead, stepped on.
And obviously, the shatters themselves moved into the snap.
Correct.
Game. So, we still wanted to keep shatters. We liked the art variation of the shatters, and we wanted to keep the reward, the pool-based points earning for it. So that's how we reconfigured that into the snap gameplay also.
Okay, and we're going to get to that in 1 second. We're just going to talk about the Season 1 trophies for little bit here. So I just had a thought pop in my head, and I don't know if I'm correct or incorrect, so you can tell me. So the trophies that are going to get handed out are actually a art design NFT that's going to hold a drip associated. So for some reason in my head, I had your point totals was a drip and the trophy was a separate drip. But now I'm thinking that the trophy is your point drip. Does that make sense?
Okay. I will
okay,
clarify.
Thank you.
Your leaderboard position will be an accumulative of your points, which will equal one drip payout, right? That drip needs to be associated to something of a visual NFT to allow us to access the interface that the engineer team created. So any NFT we make can be turned into a drip if we wanted it to. So what we did was, you're correct. This one I'm gonna raise my hand on a little bit. I actually got the ability to create the trophy a little bit. Like, I had some fun with it. Jeff basically said, just come up with an idea that you want that trophy to look like and send me the concept and we'll see if we like it. And then it was funny because I did make one. And I think it was James actually who was like, I don't like that one. So we went back to the drawing board a little bit and redid some things on it. But we used the top three point scorers for the season. So if you look at the baseball one, you'll see the Showtime hand, you'll see the Matata tomahawk, and you'll see the cowboy hat. That is what makes up the trophy because they were our top three scorers. And then that was hand-drawn by one of our artists. And then our graphic designer did all his background magic, which he's fantastic at. And we will mint those as NFTs themselves, and you will get one that is airdropped to you in your marketplace account. And what you'll see is there may be a first place trophy and a second place trophy and a third place trophy, and they will all have some variances to the art maybe. And then you'll get a top 10 trophy, there will be a top 100 trophy, and then there will be a 101 through, just like a generic standard, I guess you could call it like a participation trophy, right? But it still looks really cool. We had a lot of fun designing them all. And that will be what your drip comes out of. So you will be able to click on that item, and then it'll tell you how many reward miles you earned for your leaderboard, and you will be able to claim them daily gas-free.
Okay, so one trophy NFT drip per...
sport.
Per sport, per wallet, or per BP marketplace, yeah. ID, right?
Correct. So you have your football placement, you have your baseball placement. You will get two separate trophies that will have a drip associated to it based on how many points you have and what that converts to in terms of rewards miles. And then each one of your color pops the ColourPop itself that you see in your wallet will have the ability to click on it, and that is your interface for your ColourPop. You don't need another asset for it.
Okay. And then the drips will go directly to the your marketplace wallet, the BPX.
Correct.
Okay.
The reward miles. Yes.
Okay. And that's both the ColourPops and the trophy are... they can be daily. You can withdraw daily claims. Okay. Yep. And I know I'm gonna ask for the Ben and Alphas of the world. Is there any hope of somewhat automating the daily drip of those color pops for those insane people that have hundreds?
Eventually, yes. From day one, likely not.
Okay.
It has been brought to the table that it is something we need to work on. But I, as you know, we need to finalize, obviously, all the snap game and pick six mechanics and all the, how that works before we move back into the drip part.
Okay, great. All right.
But wait, there's more. Pause. JRP did not respond in time. So the next winner... for the HGH football box for week 22 is BYU of U. You have 1 minute to request to speak.
Thanks, Eric. Right. And Jen, he is in the audience. I see him. He was having audio problems at the beginning, thanks to X. So we're good. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Woo-hoo.
Awesome.
Another happy winner.
What do you got next for me, Jen?
What do I have next? We're going to move on to Snap.
Okay.
Actually, hold on. There was one question. I was looking it up and then I got distracted. Galileo. So for 2023 set in 2024, can we just take our total points at Snapshot on the set builder site times 20% for the 2024 point value?
Easy to assume yes, but if you trade or move anything around, obviously those points will change. Also, remember the set builder was built as a tool for the community. It does not include like weapon sets, but your weapon set is only utilized if you don't have a full set, for example. So just to clarify, a full aqua set, I believe, is 2x your points. Well, you're not also going to get a 1.1 multiplier on each set in that 180 aquas. But let's say you had an extra 25 aquas that were left over and you did put them into, you know, call it what, 6 times 4. Let's say you made 4 aqua weapon sets. So that's the same hero with all 6 weapon variations. That would get a 1.1 multiplier on it. That set builder does not currently calculate all of that. It only calculates your full sets. So your full aqua set, your full blue set, and your rainbows that you have completed. So also on the set builder, that's the leaderboard only goes to top 100. So for set builder, if you click your own name, you'll be able to see everything you own. So that'll work for each individual person correctly.
Okay. So basically that should be, the 20% should be no lower than that. You may get
it would actually potentially be higher.
Okay.
Yeah. Depending on your odds and ends, like your outlier items that aren't in a full set.
Got it.
Just keep that in mind when you're trying to do your math on it.
Okay. All right. Snap. So with the retirement of the old Raz game, we mark an end of an era for many of us who originally came in with that being the kind of the sole thing that BPX did. So there's a little tear. However, we're all excited about the snap. And can you kind of shed insights into the decision-making process behind getting rid of that and then how you guys kind of transitioned into this new snap game?
Yeah. So when I first came on to the team we hadn't run a Raz, I believe, in a while at that point. And the problem with the Raz was it was just really hard for Blockpacks to run a business model where they could make money off of it. Because at the end of the day, all of you guys trade your Raz at the time based on strictly card value divided by how many were remaining. And if we had to let's say we put $300,000 worth of cards in there, but in order to run a business, I mean, you'd have to raise $400,000 or $450,000, right? To make a profit to run the business. It just didn't work. And then obviously it would throw off the mechanics of like, well, hey, we're paying all this money and we're only getting this much back in terms of like value in cards. And obviously that could also then create some FUD there. So it just didn't really work for a long-term solution. It was great for having fun and building community, but it just, there was no money to be made there without possibly pissing off a lot of people. So enter HGH. Now we have our own product that we create, and we can say, hey, if we raise X amount of money in our sales, we can do a certain percentage as a give back to the community. So you're not going to see the same, you know, size card. You're not going to see $15,000 and $20,000 cards in this, unless for some reason you guys are buying like, you know, millions of dollars worth of HGH, which would be great. Then sure, we could juice up the snap games and make them a lot bigger prizes. But we have to make sure we're playing within our confines of what we're raising. So obviously some of that's going to be based on SurveyMonkey's and what we see as your guys' trends in terms of buying drop one and drop two. Then we could say, okay, we're selling X amount. That'll allow us to then give back more to the community. So this isn't a direct sales pitch, but if you guys want bigger snap games, then we need to have bigger HGH sales to kind of supplement and support that for you guys.
No, I think that it's absolutely genius to make, because we used to have, I don't know how many people were here when we used to do the common games, where that was an effort into bringing a little bit more value and attention into the common set, since they really weren't part of rainbows or anything like that, but to kind of, you know, bring a little more value there. So this, in my eye, is a step above that, as far as, you know, maintaining that value with the common sets. And I believe the way it's going to work is the cards will go out, and there's about a 30-day window after ripping. Is that a strict 30-day? Or is that?
It's still a little flexible, because I wanted to run on a calendar cadence. So, you know, sometimes those are going to be a little off. But basically, the way you can anticipate it to work is we'll have our geek presale. You'll have a couple of days for geek presale like they always have. And then, you know, maybe a week or two later, you'll have your public sale. And that'll be that at that pricing. That's if the geeks don't sell it out before we even get to public, which there is a chance with having the technically having the smaller set size per drop, there's a chance that the geeks sell it out before we even get to a public sale. So there's also that possibility. And then you guys will rip your product, and you'll have, so I'll just say it, our rip date is based on being March 28th, right? You guys kind of know that's the start of baseball. We know we want to rip with baseball at the same time to start off our year. And then you'll have all of April to basically consolidate into the common that you choose. And now remember, each hero's variation will have a physical card tied to it. So just using round numbers, if there's 15 heroes and there are 6 weapon variations for each hero, you're going to have 90 cards available in the set. And what that means is if you hold the common, let's say, Fire Matata, then you accumulate as many of those as you want, because you want that card that you will know before the snap games begin is tied to that card. You'll have that month, that April, let's say April month, to consolidate into common Fire Matata. And then what will happen is, as of right now, May 6th seems to be the date we're shooting for your snap game to begin. And ideally, it would be every Monday you'll have an airdrop. And they'll airdrop the next level. So on May 6th, you'll get your purple Shatter Fire Matata. And then on the next Monday, you'll get your Lime Shatter Fire Matata. And you're going to build that whole rainbow all the way down until the 101 happens. So it'll be Monday, 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 Monday. You'll have your 4 airdrops. And then the final week of May, you would have a second airdrop likely on Thursday or Friday at the end of the week, and you'll get your 101 with your physical prize vault sent to you.
Nice. And I enjoy it because there's just so many different ways to look at this as I'm sitting here thinking about it. So you're going to have people that enjoy the whole, the old Raz part of it linked to a physical card. So they're going to be going on to accumulate specific common weapon that they want for their card. Then you have people that are trying to build their common sets, who may or may not care about the card attached to it. And then you have people, because the only way you can get the shatters is if you are randomly, you know, selected and own that common and that weapon by the time when all these snaps happen. So then you have people that are going to be wanting the, you know, the shatters and getting those rainbows. And it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah. And I mean, and think about it, right? There's a lot of ways to go about that. If you're somebody who just cares about the common itself, wait for the snap game to occur and the commons that are eliminated, go accumulate your commons after. You don't have to worry about competing at that price level of the snap game. Just go get your commons after. And if you're somebody who wants to build the rainbow, let's say you are in it and you survive down to the orange out of 16, but you get eliminated. I'm sorry, not eliminated. You don't get the next airdrop sent to you, which is the pink out of 4. Well, after the game is over, you can go say, hey, I want your pink. What would you sell it to me for? So it creates two things. It creates more activity across the marketplace, as well as the people who used to come in and play the snap game as the Raz and have no value left over to them if they didn't win a card. Well, now you can not win the card and you can have a purple, lime, orange, and pink that you can then sell to other community members to give yourself more value if you lost the snap game. So it also gives more value in the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, I every time BP and you guys come out with a game or a new version of something or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. Oh my God, that's genius. I have to come up with new adjectives and a different way to express myself. But it's just when you look at the game and you look at how many different ways that you can hook people into playing it. And it's not just simply going for the card that's attached. And I'm correct in assuming that it is not guaranteed that the card attached is the card on the common, correct?
Correct. So we will, by design, if we have a Ronald Acuna card in the set, he will be tied to Matata. If we have a Ellie De La Cruz card in the set, he will be tied to an Ellie. But it's not guaranteed because you're going to have times where maybe like you don't want to have 6 Mike Trout cards in your set. So you're only going to have maybe you have 1 and then you'll have 5 other ones. And it can be basketball or NASCAR or whatever. You can mix and match. But again, there's no guarantee that if these 15 heroes are in the set that there's going to be 15 cards of them in the set. Right. There'll be the possibility, but we're not going to handcuff ourselves when we're trying to build out our entire snap game, right? Like we want variety and flavor for everybody in the snap game. So we don't want to just make sure it's the same heroes every time.
Right. I get that. That makes perfect sense. So I know there are some people out here who would go for the same guy every single time.
we know Jamps is going to chase every Jazz Chisholm card. So what, we're going to put 6 in there for him? No, maybe there's 1, maybe there's not. But, you know, the other 5, if there is a Jazz Chisholm card in our set, we'll make sure that he's associated with Rockstar.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. So I think Sabi's telling me that you have the last giveaway winner.
He did not text it to me. I got BYU of You was the last one.
Yeah, we must be. It must be Elon Musk must be running the text networks, huh, Eric, today? Well, anyway, the next one is actually the luckiest person. He actually, this is the second time he's going to be a winner this week. Jorzane's the winner. And I can
see
him
in
here.
Oh my gosh. Enough, Jorzane.
Jorzane is the winner of the random HGH football box for the all postseason fantasy football tourney, the one that SW Wynot won. And that, Jen, why are you saying that? What did Jor Zane win about 48 hours ago or 72 hours ago?
The $1,000 bounty on the Black 101.
Yes, in a radish break.
In a radish break.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just, you know what? I hope he hits. He hits another black. And unfortunately for you, Jen, it won't be a black ram, which I know you would hate if that happened. But if he can pull a black ram out of a football box, that will be a miracle.
That would be something. Okay, so a couple of things. So we're winding to the edge and we have a hard stop at 1 because right after this, we're going to have Kisher and Rommel on to talk about the Wonder Trait boxes and try and explain everything that's going on there. I wanted to see if there was any other questions from the audience. There are a couple other topics.
And Jen, Jen, just to interrupt, one thing is that for folks who don't know, that's actually going to be a video chat because we're going to be sharing screens. So it will not be in X Spaces, and thankfully, because apparently the tech isn't working that great today.
Slappy, you come on off mute as a host, I ended up losing audio.
Yeah, I mean, now you know what it is. Do you have Apple or Android, by the way, Eric?
I have an Apple and I am on my phone.
Yeah. Hey, well, Apple should work, but it just, Eric keeps, X keeps dropping you today. It's a miracle, guys. It's like, this has been a great show. I know some people had audio problems at the beginning. The good thing is when this goes to the podcast, some people, Jen, in your intro could not hear you because you were cutting in and out. But the best part is for folks who can now hear in the podcast, it will be sound perfect. So that's the key, is always make sure you can get around Elon's problems by listening to the podcast.
There we go. Plug.
You have one last part, I think, Jen, that you might want to cover.
I have. Which one do I want to cover quick? The pick six?
I think that was the... you said snap games at pick six, so I think that was...
I had the pick
Jen,
six.
Jen, bring it back. Let's not rush it. He has so much information. Ask him if he'll do it. Ask him what we talked about behind the scenes of today's show.
Okay, I know. So we have a lot left. We have the pick six, we have the physical... And then we have the collision art where the other pieces that we were going to talk about. So, Eric, would you be able to come back next week and do a round two to discuss the rest of the stuff?
What is next week? Let me look at my calendar. The 13th next week. We should be possibly maybe in the middle of our presale. So, maybe possibly in the middle of it. Yeah, sure. We can. I can come back next week, and we can cover some more if you guys need to. We don't have to rush anything.
Okay. So there was a question. Is there a limit to the number of packs that each geek can buy?
So we are modeling, and there are two scenarios. One where we have geek limits, based on what you hold, and then there is one where we say, no holds bar, whatever you want, come and get it. So we are discussing that as late of last night. We were discussing that, Jeff and I. So,
okay. And I'm assuming the survey is still open for anyone that hasn't done it yet. Okay.
Yeah, please. If you guys like that survey, it really. I want you to be honest on what you intend to spend each drop, just because it helps me make the decisions on modeling those box counts, and then how many boxes impact, obviously, your pack odds, right? And then how many heroes we're going to fit into it. So I just want, if you guys can, please fill out that SurveyMonkey. It's in an announcement posted up by Jeff. It just helps us be more accurate. And then, obviously, the more accurate we are, the better we can fulfill, you guys enjoying using our product and things like that.
Okay, awesome. I'll just say, if anyone has any other questions, bring them up now. But we are going to bring Eric back next week to talk about the rest of the stuff. And then, of course, anything else that happens between now and then. I'll give you opportunity, Eric, for final thoughts. Is there anything that we needed to get out today that's very important that we didn't cover, or anything else we missed that you want everyone to know?
I think we covered everything that we could possibly cover, actually. I mean, I know we didn't get to the pick six and the collision and the physical, but You know, the physical I'm going to be very cautious on because there's still a lot of moving parts with it. I don't know the print run date, so I'll try to answer what I can when we get there. But, you know, I just have to be careful I don't commit to something before we actually know exactly what it's going to be. That's all. But I think about covers it, man. I definitely appreciate, you know, always coming on and being able to talk to you guys and keep as much information flowing to you to make you guys aware and make decisions on how you want to spend your money. I mean, I've said it before, I come from the community and I don't want to lose that touch. I want to make sure, you know, I'm sure in time, maybe I start to fade and think more business related, but you know, I'll even say it, like talking through Bantam stuff down the road, I'm very much trying to listen to the community and give Jeff feedback and guiding on how we're going to make that change later. Right. So just know I'm always trying to keep your guys' best interest at heart at all times, even when I'm making business decisions. That's all.
Well, I want to say thank you from the community as a whole, as well as myself for coming on today and sharing your time and knowledge with us, and then also agreeing on the spot to come back next week to have another chat.
Yeah. Can I really say no? No, I'm just kidding. You, knowing you, there'll be a 2-hour negotiation in my DMs after the fact if I said no to something. How do you think she got that Ram Fire Black 101?
Hey, I am not a hard. I'm a nice negotiator. That's not funny. Stop laughing.
I beg to differ, but I'll leave it be.
Again, thank you. Thank everyone in the audience and all of you guys that asked some questions and everything. And I will do my corny joke before the closing so we don't have the awkward 10-second pause. So my corny joke for today is, you know, you have to hand it to short people because they can't reach it. Well, that wraps up for today's journey through the dynamic, exciting, and much anticipated landscape of HTH. I hope you found inspiration and learned a few things along the way. A heartfelt thank you to Eric for unraveling the intricacies of each topic and guiding us through the wonders of the HTH universe. Big applause to the BP team for their dedication in crafting these mesmerizing experiences. And to our incredible community, your passion and curiosity fuel the magic of HTH. Your presence is what makes this digital adventure a truly captivating one. As we sign off for now, remember, the magic lives on. Stay tuned for more captivating episodes and thrilling updates. Until we meet again in the next BPX break room, keep exploring, keep collecting, and keep the magic alive in your HTH journey. This is your Silo Sensei, Jen Khan. Till next week.
You've been listening to BPX Break Room, which is broadcast live each Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern in Twitter Spaces at Radish Digital. That's digital with a J. I've been your host, Discord user Jen Khan, and I wanted to thank today's co-host and you, the listener. A special thanks to those in the audience who raised their hand and came up on stage, helping to make BPX the best community in Web3. BPX is a community built for collectors by collectors. That's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.